Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another night in the Red Room. This is your host, Shelly L. Brooks, along with my co-host, James Wilson, who I will still and always call the hardest working man in Hot Atlanta, along with my controversial, longtime, and just so true friend, Niecy. I ain't even going to throw your last name out there because you got a lot to talk about, and I don't even want anybody to notice the full government name. I just want everybody to just have a great time on the show with us tonight. I hope you learn something from the show. But the bottom line is we have some things that we want to share. We want you to call in, chime in, share your experiences, give us your feedback, and we're going to share some things about ourselves because I think the only way that we can really learn is if we share. So if you've seen the topic for tonight's show, you will know that it is from intimate to the friend zone, can it work? Before I go into the discussion of the topic, I want to thank my co-host James Wilson and my other co-host Niecy for joining us on the show tonight. Y'all, I'm so glad to be back in the Red Room with y'all. How y'all doing tonight?
I'm great. What's up, James?
That's fantastic. Nothing much. What's been going on?
I had nothing much going on, but Shelly going to put me out there, you know. She going to bring my past back, but it's good. It's good. I want everybody to know about my past.
But that's the only way we learn, you know. We learn from each other's experiences, and, you know, as true friends, we keep it real. You know, I always say that if I can put my stuff out there and somebody learn from it, guess what? It helps somebody, even if it didn't help me.
Yep.
So, sadly to say, James was in town, and he's such a busy man and in such demand. Niecy, you and I didn't even get to see him while he was here.
I know, and I was ready.
Yeah. It's always a brief trip when I come home, but next time I'm gonna try to not go to work, and I'm gonna try to make sure I see everybody.
Okay.
All right, we're going to hold him to that, Niecy, if we have to hunt him down like a disgruntled, angry girlfriend. You're going to have two women chasing you, trying to figure out where you are. We're going to pop up like, hey, we're here.
Uh-oh. I'm scared.
So do we want to just jump into the topic tonight, or do we don't want to do a catch-up? Because, I mean, it's been a minute since we've been in the Red Room. Things have just been kind of crazy. And, you know, James has been working like 900 hours a week. I mean, I've been in the whole grandmother role. Niecy has been in like four different roles. I don't even know what you call them, but Lord knows I've just been. I mean, and it's not funny, but it's like the things that happen with her. I always say to her, whenever she tells me, all I can say is, Niecy, only you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's jump into the topic, and then at the end we'll kind of go through what's been going on with us in each of our personal lives. But what do y'all think about tonight's topic? From intimate to the friend zone, can it work? Now, these are the questions that I posed when I put together the topic for the show to see if anybody was interested in listening in, if they wanted to chime in. And for all of the listeners who listen to our archive shows, and I will say, James, you've seen the numbers. It's totally amazing to see the number of people who download our shows, who listen to the archive shows. I really and truly feel like we are doing something. So even if we don't have the live callers to call in, there are people who listen to our shows, and they are finding something of value to it. And I just want to thank them so much for every single show that they download, because we're all doing this for a purpose. We don't put our personal lives out there and share the things that we share for no reason. We do it to help other people. But tonight's topic is this. When we talk about from intimate to the friend zone, I just want to honestly say that I'm not trying to sugarcoat this. you have the real relationships, the relationships that are the committed relationship, either you want to label it girlfriend, boyfriend, significant other, boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, whatever you want to call it. It's a relationship where two people have come together and decided that they want to be in each other's lives on a one-on-one committed basis. But when that relationship ends, whether it's a mutual agreement or not, a lot of times, and many times, the offer or request of friendship is part of closure. And I think that's the reason that it's there. And you can disagree with me if you'd like, because, you know, I like a little controversy. But I'm just curious as to whether or not can it really work? Can, you know, people attempt to maintain the friendship? And a lot of people do, but how often is it really achieved? Because if you think about it, when you're in a relationship with someone, when the components of that committed relationship, such as trust, respect, and honesty are broken, what are the reasons for wanting to remain friends? And I asked that question because I saw a quote some time ago that said, remaining friends with someone you've been in a relationship with that has hurt you is almost like asking your kidnapper, once you're released, can you please stay in touch? It's like, what is the point? Mm-hmm. You know, and this is a deeper question that I got a lot of responses to. I couldn't get an answer, but I could see the wheels turning. Are some relationships mislabeled as a friendship or a relationship, but they're really nothing more than just a physical attraction? Because sometimes I think we label things one way when they really aren't. So let's just open the door and just go for it. Can you really be friends with someone? And I say friends meaning that true friendship where I can lean on you, you can lean on me, I am there for you, you are there for me. And outside of the intimate past that we've had, we can have a friendship that does not involve the intimacy or create complications.
It can work. It can work very well. And
why do you think so?
Like I said,
is it from personal experience?
Yes. And those who listened to a previous show would know that my ex-girlfriend called in one of our previous shows, and nobody ever knew. I told Shelly after the show, but the person that called in about dating somebody who turned out to be gay after the fact, whatever else, yes, that was my ex-girlfriend. And we have been the closest friends for the past 8, almost 9 years now. And we haven't been together since 2006. But to this very day, you know, there's nothing intimate between us. We're solely friends. I'm the godfather of both of her kids. Her family sees me as their own and everything else. So, I mean, it's very possible for anybody to be in a friendship with a former intimate relationship that they've had.
James, let me ask you this. When the relationship ended between the two of you, was it mutual? Was it one person just said, you know, this isn't working for me? And I think maybe this is a key piece to, because you're the exception to the rule. I'm going to be honest. You truly are. That relationship is the exception to the rule because a lot of people cannot just be friends with someone that they have been intimate with without a few other things kind of feeding into the situation and complicating it. Explain how that relationship ended, because I'm curious.
It really wasn't like a ending type thing, I guess. It sounds weird, but it was more so me saying, hey, you know, I'm away at school, though we're still close in distance, but I just don't see us working out during, you know, me being at school and college and you being where you are. But, you know, that's just, we're still going to be friends no matter what. And we have been. We've had our periods where we don't talk for a month or two or 6 months or whatever else. I know when the first happened, I don't think we talked that much for maybe twice in like 6 months. And once we reconnected, it just got, you know, we communicated more, we talked more, we saw each other more. Especially when she moved down here to Georgia, she, you know, we just stayed connected, and no matter what, we made sure we communicated. We talked about our relationship, we talked about, you know, us splitting up, and we still do to this very day. And that's just what makes us stronger as friends. We're open and honest no matter what. She's made decisions that I disagree with. I throw her my brutal honesty. She's told me how she's felt about stuff that I've done, and she still says to this very day, you know, yes, I did hurt her, but she understands, and she still loves me nonetheless. And that's not even just her. That's another friend that I have, my actual roommate. When we first met, we actually started dating. We didn't talk for a whole year after we stopped, but after that 1 year, we expressed how we felt, and we've been the best of friends for the past 8 years as well. Now we're living together where you're completely just friends, nothing intimate, nothing more than a soul friendship. We take care of each other, we help each other out, we're there for each other, and that's all it is.
Okay. So I can understand the situation with the first situation you talked about. And I'm going to be honest, that completely blew me away because I was so shocked when I understood the dynamics of that situation. And I applaud the two of you. I mean, that is just so amazing. I mean, I think her and I had a conversation offline that I just told her she's just so awesome for, you know, being, you know, in the position that she's in, the friendship that y'all have developed. I think that's the way that relationships should end. But it, like I said, it is the exception to the rule. But let me ask you a question. With the roommate situation, the thought of intimacy never crosses either one of your minds? I guess you can't speak for him, but I'll ask you.
For me?
Yeah, I'm putting you out there just like I'm about to do Niecy, but I know it's going to come back around to me, so.
I mean, I can honestly say there have been times that it has, but it's not like something I would act on. Because we have a very weird relationship. Like, people who don't really know us, when they see us interact, they actually think that we're married. And I'm like, well, no, we're just friends, but we're just really, like, we're really freaking close. And we have to take care of each other because we're all we have down here.
Right.
So, I mean, no, there has been times. Even before I moved down here, there has been times. But we both know what it is, so.
Okay. Niecy, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
You have, and because, you know, we've been friends for over 20 years, I know, personally only know one of your exes, but know of your ex-husband, and I'm going to talk about the ex-husband situation. You and him have had an interesting relationship because he has been, in a sense, your friend, someone that you can call and ask for assistance and ask for help for certain situations in your life, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, me knowing you, I understand that there is no interest on your part of anything going beyond the friendship. But just recently we've had a conversation that he kind of expressed the desire to kind of cross the line as friends.
Yes, he did. He just did it again on Sunday, yes.
Oh, see.
On the Lord's Day.
Well, you know, I have to explain the situation.
Please do.
He's
That's
very
what I was
vulnerable.
Getting ready to say. Explain the situation.
He's very vulnerable right now. He lost his mother. His mother passed away. And you can see the hurt in him. So, you know, I had another issue. And I needed him to help me, you know. He always, you know, he's there for me. He hollers and screams at me, but he comes and do whatever I need. So I called him on Sunday and told him, hey. No, I called him Saturday night. Told him I messed up. I did something. I don't know how to fix it. And he, all right, I'll help you. So he came over Sunday, and I could see he was hurt. And I was like, come here, hon. You need a hug. Come here. Let me hug you. And we hugged for a long time. And, you know, he always jokes about me smoking. You know, he hated me smoking. And after we hugged, he was like, give me some smoke, and came in and kissed me. And I was like, what is wrong with you? Why would you do that? Oh, I'm just playing with you. So he was trying me. He wanted to see if I would kiss him back. Because if I kissed him back, he knew, oh, shit, I'm back in. But, no, I had to, you know, put him in his place. And I didn't want to because of the situation of him losing his mom, but I had to do it because that ain't gonna ever gonna happen again. The intimate, no. It's a rarity that I go back. I never go back. Ever.
So let me ask you this, because you feel that he is, at this point, has tried to cross the line beyond friendship, because from what I understand, it's always been cordial. It's always been the friendship kind of thing. He's maybe said a few things here and there, the little kind of innocent flirting, which I understand, but because he kind of took a physical approach to trying to see where it could go outside the friendship, how do you think that you can deal with the situation going forward?
Oh, we back on schedule, girl. We back as our normal selves. When I said, no, something wrong with you, don't try it again, it's over, it's done. We're fixed.
Okay.
So,
well,
you know
I
don't have no words.
You're not concerned, it's not an issue for you anymore?
Him? No, it's not an issue anymore.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm not saying he might not try nothing again. Oh, he's going to try something again, but it's not an issue for me because I can handle
right.
it.
Right, You don't feel that you might, you know, you just feel like you could use the harsh approach, which is what you've had to use with him in the past, to be able to handle a situation.
Yes. And it's sad okay. that I have to do that, but I always have to do it that way. Always. You know what? That was Saturday night I had to do that. I already told you about the coworker. Remember the coworker?
Mm-hmm.
He tried that again on me Saturday. And I had to put him, I'm like, really? I don't know what it is about men, you know. They can't take no. It's like, I ain't going to accept no because I'm going to break her. Everybody thinks they're going to break me. Ain't no breaking. If
no,
you don't soften me from the beginning, you are never going to soften me. It's just simple as that.
No is a challenge.
I know, it's a challenge to them. But if they want to continue to, you know, be tortured, then, hey, challenge and torture, okay. I guess that goes together. And no matter what I say, you know, they keep it trying. But I guess, you know, hey, they'll have some fun in their life until they die.
They keep on knocking, okay. But you can't get in.
There you go. And then, you
well,
know, I had to really be mean. And he says, you are straight out mean. And I was like, no, I'm not. I just don't play. I don't have no BS about me. I'm being straightforward with you. What I say is what I mean. So don't take it as being mean. You know how you try to sugarcoat stuff? It's beyond sugarcoating it. You know, now I got to be harsh to get my point across. And you brought this on yourself.
And, you know, and sometimes that's what you have to do, and it's unfortunate, but that is what you have to do. But, I mean, but that's sometimes what you have to do.
I just
kind of see some situations where, you know, maintaining the friendship after a relationship, and I had to throw in the you know, and I don't even know if I threw this in with the whole, you know, introducing the show or whatever, but, you know, there are some situations where you have the just friends with benefits. It may not be the best type of situation, but if it is what it is, then that's what it is. But I think sometimes, you know, whatever the whole details or what you want to label it as soon as intimacy becomes part of the situation, and I don't even want to say relationship because they all are certain, I guess they all are relationships. Whatever you want to label that relationship as, it becomes complicated when something changes. But then you want to go back from being intimate to being friends. It can be done. I mean, James has clearly explained how it can be done. But what makes it so difficult and complicated is when there is a reason or an underlying reason, a selfish reason, and a lot of times a manipulative reason for asking for the friendship. Now, I say that because I don't think I've become a victim of the manipulative piece of asking for the friendship. I think a lot of times when you have two people who have had children together and the relationship doesn't work out and there needs to be a friendship.
Right.
I'm not
That's
saying
what I was
it has
going
to
say.
Be the I'm not saying you got to be BFFs, you got to call each other every now and then, but it has to be a certain type of friendship there where you can still have a cordial relationship. But
you know what, Shelley? If
go ahead.
There was not a son involved, we would not be friends.
And I think that's kind of where I'm going. Because they are children, you want to try to maintain some type of relationship.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
You have to call it a friendship because your children need to be able to see that mom and dad can still get along, they can still communicate, so forth and so on. But what I really think that some people do is ask for or offer the friendship as part of closure, because they feel like if I can still be that person's friend, they won't see me as the asshole that I was for screwing up in the relationship, or they won't kind of totally cut me off and I can still go back there whenever I want to, whether it's because I'm just going to, you know, my mom passed away and I'm just in such a bad place right now. And I mean, I hate to use that as an example, but the sympathy piece of the you know, crossing the line is a big part of why people want to throw the friendship ring out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I say this to say that when a relationship ends, we have to be ever so careful of the offer of friendship, because one thing I think is it's such a lame line when a person says, you know what, it's just not working for us, you know, I can't really see myself being with you anymore, yada, 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 whatever the line is that is used or the explanation is used for ending a relationship, but I still would like for us to be friends. People need to know and understand that you can't just accept that piece of the offer right then and there. You can't. Because sometimes it takes healing, it takes closure, it takes moving past everything that has happened to be able to even accept that offer. I'm gonna be honest. Some relationships that ended, and I mean, and I make it no secret because in my book I talk about how all of my past relationships, I wasn't the one who walked away, except for one, and that wasn't even I walked away. It was a mutual situation. But each and every one, it was the, can we still be friends? Hell no, I don't want to be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I want to be your friend? You just showed me that I can't trust you. You're not honest with me. You disrespected me. These are the three main things I really wanted in a relationship, and I sure as hell wanted a friend. So
yeah.
Why do I want to be your friend? But I will say, over time, and when a person moves past the pain and has moved on with their life, there is the opportunity for a friendship to be developed. But I still say there is the risk of what used to be the intimate piece of it. Because I'm going to tell you something, which I find just so interesting. A person can forget how much they hurt you, that someone has hurt you, but they'll never forget how good the sex was.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
They will never forget. I'm just going to break it down and keep it real. They can forget how bad it hurt when they found out that he cheated or she cheated. They can forget how volatile that argument was that brought them to the place of saying, we will never be together again. But they don't forget how good the intimate part of that relationship was. And people have a tendency to go back to that. They will slither and slide their way back to that place of reminding you of, remember that night?
Yep.
Now, you'll forget that night that you caught him. You'll remember that. You might even forget. You remembered it, but you might even move past it. But you will not move past that night that your hair was soaking wet. You almost passed out. You couldn't walk for 2 hours.
Shit, for
2 days.
And
all the other things for 2 days. Okay, 2 days, James?
I mean, 2 days. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I tend to do that to people. I'm sorry.
But, I mean, do y'all understand what I'm saying? You don't forget the intimate piece of it. So you have 2 days. Wow. Okay. But you have a tendency to overlook or move past the pain, but you won't move past the intimate piece of it. And it's just one of those things that I think that we have to be careful of, because if you don't, you won't move past the person. I believe that a person will always ask for the friendship piece because it's still that way of them hoping that the relationship will be able to be rekindled. If we're friends, it didn't work out. Somebody did something, the relationship is over, but we've agreed to be friends. Guess what? We started out as friends. We can start back over as friends. So,
I don't see a problem.
I mean, I'm just saying. Well, I mean, I don't either, because, you know, they say the second time around is better than the first time. And that's not a bad thing if both people have learned something from the mistakes that were made that caused the relationship to end, and you come back together again, you formed a friendship afterwards. And a lot of times, and this goes back to one of the questions that I asked, was it really a relationship where y'all were friends in the beginning, and then you moved to something else, or was it just the intimate piece that was the physical, where there was just the physical attraction, and it really wasn't a friendship? So, I mean, I'm just saying, it's complicated, but it's just one that you have to be very careful of what is the reason for. Now, I'm going to share something. I mean, Nisi has shared, James has shared, and I'm going to share something. I'm in a place of irritation right now. And I think I realized that I was irritated because when, you know, James and I talked about the topics for the show and we came up with this topic, I realized I'm personally dealing with something right now that is part of what we're talking about. I started out a friendship with someone who, I mean, we were so great as friends. And I think it was the friendship led to the intimate part because we were each in a place in our life, stepped into the relationship role, but it didn't work out. And we agreed that we were going to be just friends. And for 4 years, almost, well, for a little over 4 years, it kind of, you know, went to that place. But for the last 3+ years, we have been nothing more than just friends. We hang out together. We confided in each other. We have discussed our dating issues. We've talked about, you know, the worst dates ever. Oh, can you believe? He'll have a date and he'll call me and say, "Shelly, you will not believe. I just went out on a date with this girl and this happened." And we'll laugh about it. And it's just been one of the, it's just been a really, he's just been like one of my guy friends. But for some reason recently, he has felt that there was the possibility that we could go back to what was. And when I clearly indicated that wasn't the case, he has thrown me so much shade that it's like, how did this happen? Why do people change the rules? Why do you decide we're going to be friends, but now for some reason I have gone back to that place of remembering what we used to have and I want it again, and now that you understand, I mean, Niecy, just like you, you made it very clear to him that it ain't going to happen, but he's going to continue to move on with the way that y'all have been all of those years. But with my friend, he's just totally shut me out, and I'm feeling a certain kind of way about it. I really am, because we were so cool as friends. So I'm not understanding how. I mean, at this point, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do, because I feel like I'm losing a friend.
Do I know this friend?
Yes, you've met him.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
In order for me to tell you what to do, I sort of need to know who it is. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, you to put him out there like that. So I can't tell you what I want to say because I don't know who it is. Because I want to be as real as possible.
I'm going to be honest. I have two issues right now. One is the friend that I've been friends with that I thought we had established that whole friendship that we were never going to be anything other than friends from, like, 4 years ago. But then I got the other issue with the letter that I say that, oh, we're just going to be friends. But I have to stay away from, because I know we can't be just friends. That one I think I pretty much know how to deal with. Huh?
Is that the wrong way of staying away from somebody because you know you can't just be friends?
It
is, though. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, it's nothing wrong with it, but it ain't easy.
Right. But
it's not easy.
If that's what you have to do to keep yourself away, then
don't be nice to me, Jane. You know you really want to ask the question, is that really what I want to do?
I mean, do you want to stay away? No. I know you don't.
Hell no.
And I'm gonna be completely honest too. When I came home this weekend, there were two people that I said I had to see before I leave. And there were two people that I used to deal with. One I've been friends with for the past 4 or 5 years, who has been also been my barber back home for the past 4 years, or since we started dating. The last person was this person I was dealing with right before I moved, who's actually from Atlanta. And at the time that I moved, we had started getting really, really close. So I saw both of them on Saturday night in the same place at the same time. They knew who each other were that night. They knew who they were that night. But the one I was dealing with before I left, before I moved, after we left the bar, you know, all of us went out to eat, whatever else afterwards. And all of those feelings came back. And it's like, damn, I really don't want to leave. Or I really want you to come back home with me and stay about a week and then, you know, whatever else. And we talked about it a little bit. It was more so, well, we can try to make it work. We know we're far away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did not want to let that go. And me seeing him was more of a reminder of how much I cared and like this guy. So, yeah, I understand. I don't want to stay away, but I know I have to. Because if I don't, then, you know.
Yeah, it's just going to be a hot mess. I think those situations are ones that are a little bit easier to deal with because you know what it is that you're going to do versus what you should do. And me, myself, I already know. But the one that just really troubles me is how have we become friends? I mean, and I guess it goes back to the topic, can it work? I really feel like has it been a false friendship for all these years? Because at some point, did you really feel that our friendship was just a way for you to work your way back into that place of hoping it was going to be something more? Because is that what happens when two people say, you know what, it didn't work out, but we can still be friends, and you start hanging out together and you start doing things together, and it just makes me wonder, does one person really have that intention of going back to where they used to be, or is it really a true friendship going forward?
Cool. This is a touchy subject.
It is.
And maybe I'm thinking too deep into this because I know a lot of people, I mean, and I think it's a little bit different when it, like Niecy, like you and I were talking about how when you have children together, you have to maintain some type of cordial relationship. Whether you call that a friendship or not, I don't know. I mean, are y'all all going to get together, you know, is he going to bring his new girlfriend or wife and you're going to bring your new boyfriend or wife together and y'all celebrate the birthdays for the kids together? That would be the picture-perfect situation. I so wish my life could be like that. I really do. But in reality, a lot of times it doesn't work like that. I so wish I could have the, you know, my kids, but with my daughter, I mean, my ex-husband, we're so cool. I mean, we've been to cookouts together. I mean, Niecy came, went to, was it Labor Day weekend? He cooked on the grill. I mean, we were just all really, really cool. I mean, Niecy kind of showed up and showed out and had like three or four accidents.
What you do?
And all the family is like, oh, God, we have to increase our homeowner's insurance in case she falls out of chair again or falls through the deck.
No alcohol involved.
No alcohol. But, I mean, we have a very cordial relationship. I mean, his girlfriend for many, many years has, you know, I knew her from a long time ago. So we really have a pretty good relationship, but it doesn't always work that way. But I'm confused as to, you know, how this can actually work, because I really want to know, can it work?
Niecy?
I don't think so. I really don't, because like I told you, I'm never going back. And by me not knowing exactly who the person is, I really can't give my opinion. I can just say how I would deal with this situation. And it's not going to work out.
Even as friends?
No, not even as friends. Mm-mm.
Well, I guess I'm the poor sap that you know. I mean, I do have one relationship where it was a mutual agreement, and it was the one where, you know, he moved out of state. I knew I wasn't moving with him many, many years ago, and we have had a friendship for, my daughter wasn't even born. So I would say 25 years. I mean, to the point where my ex-husband and I went and visited where he lives. He lives in Florida. My ex-husband and I visited and stayed at his house with him and his wife. We have truly been friends. He'll call and ask how I'm doing, you know, how's everything going. We have never, ever crossed the line. No conversations have ever been had about crossing the line. When we realized that it was not going to work between the two of us, we have truly been just friends. So I know that it can happen, but there's something, there's a piece in there somewhere that says this is how it's supposed to be done. We have a caller who is listening in. I'd like to find out if you have something that you want to add to this. I mean, this is one of these conversations where, I mean, if you have something to add that will help us understand, help our listeners understand how this actually can work or how to prevent a situation where someone says, let's just be friends, but they have an ulterior motive, how not to fall into that trap, please share with us. The area code of the caller's number is 202. The last three numbers is 5338. I'm going to unmute your line, so at this point, if you have something to add, please share with us in the Red Room tonight.
All right. Well, this is AJ, friend of James. Hey, James.
Hey, how are you?
I told you I was going to call in. This is a good conversation. First of all, I think the important thing is that you have to understand what it is that you want. While you may be considerate of the other person's feelings, you have to determine what you want. I have two exes that I'm still friends with, and this was from over 20 years ago. The first relationship, when it ended, there was some pain, a lot of pain behind it. But we were never enemies. There was nothing that was deceitful or anything done. It ended because he was getting ready. He was engaged to be married. And, you know, he still wanted to get married and have kids and stuff like that. And I completely understood that. But we fell in love with each other, you know, several years prior. And we kind of walked it out until a couple of months before he did decide that he was going to go through and do it anyway. So it was my first love. I was 22, 23, so, of course, I was devastated. you know, I was in school. I got out of school because I couldn't concentrate, and it threw me for a loop for a while. But finally, after I got myself right side up, you know, I didn't want it to be anything that would be distant. So I eventually reached out to him. And we are still friends today. You know, we get together maybe about once a year, once every other year and a half or 2 years. And we go out to lunch. We sit down. We talk about what's going on in each other's lives. We don't hang out. We're still very close. I'm a dreamer, so if I have a dream that's concerning, I can call him or I'll email him or something and let him know what I dreamt. And, you know, we have that kind of friendship and relationship, but I've chosen what I wanted, and that's to remain in contact with him, not on any other level than just a friendship. And because I've chosen that, I'm comfortable with that. I have no desire to resume an intimate part of the relationship whatsoever. He's a married man, and that's the way he's going to stay. He's an ex for a reason. And then I also think, you know, when you look at exes, I think you have to think about the reason why you are next. And sometimes we let situations that come up, feelings, old feelings, memories, especially the sex memories that come up. Sometimes we let those overpower our
reason. So I wasn't wrong about that then.
You're not wrong. Touch me. I too have an ex who's deceased now, but I often say, I ended the relationship because I discovered, you know, that the person was fooling around with, you know, and doing this thing. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to give you the freedom to do what you want to do. And I said, we can still be friends. I said, you can call. And I specifically said that you can call anytime you want to. We can still talk, you know, or what have you. But that's about as far as I'm willing to go. If he was, oh, dang. Okay, I'm sorry. If he was still alive today, I would be honest with you, I would either have to stay away from him because I know me and I know the fire that's between us, or, you know, it would just be on. It would be a friends with benefits very easily.
I hate to interrupt you, but I think you said something that was very key to what we've been talking about. So in situations where there has been an intimate relationship, in order to maintain a friendship, is the key to it the boundaries?
That's exactly right. That's why I say you have to decide what it is that you want. And that's your boundary. Whatever your boundary is, then you have to draw the line there and make that your boundary and choose not to cross it. And if someone tries to cross it, then you have to reinforce that boundary. Otherwise than that, you're going to wind up exactly where you are right now with these mixed emotions and frustrated. And you shouldn't be frustrated. You know, you have the right to have peace, even in a friendship that's been previously intimate. You have the right, if you made the decision that you want to still maintain a friendship with this person, you have the right to have it in peace and not to be frustrated.
So I totally agree with you. But I think what I failed to do in this situation was, and I did, but I don't know whether or not at some point it was just not clearly stated or reinforced that the boundaries are, and that person understood it. Because I think, I mean, I know for a fact that I made it very clear that we will never go back to where we were before. Because we realized that it didn't work, and we weren't on the same path in life, but we enjoyed the friendship part of it. But I think he never understood the boundaries that I had set, and I ignored the fact that he didn't.
Okay.
I think I probably ignored the fact that he didn't, and I think the key to what you just said was so profound is, you know, you have to know what you want and accept the boundary. Because sometimes when we develop that friendship, we put ourselves in that friendship box and we say we're just friends. There are some subtle flirtations that could be misunderstood, or you kind of just ignore it and be like, oh, yeah, because I'm a guy and he's a girl, and in my situation, he's just being nice to me. You know, that's what, I mean, women tell each other all the time, girl, you look hot, and we're just friends.
Right.
So when a guy says it, I mean, and a lot of times I look at my guy friends as we're just boys. But then sometimes they'll say things that I realize, dude, would you say that to one of your other boys? Because I'm one of your boys. So I kind of just... You know what I'm saying? I mean, if y'all are guy friends are straight guys, would you really say that? When you saw one of your boys dressed up in a suit, would you say, damn, nigga, you look hot? But you would say that to me, but it's almost like, okay, we're guy and girlfriends, but, you know, I'm one of your boys, so you're just going to give me a compliment that could kind of be thought of, you know, said in a different way. But it's still not me recognizing that the boundary has been crossed and addressing it. So I'm just – you just answered just a huge question for me, because I think going forward, now I know how to deal with the whole friendship thing. If it's – I mean, I really don't think that the situation that I have now with this the guy that I'm talking about, I don't think we can ever reestablish a friendship, because – it's been clear that he can't be just friends with me. And I think he's almost pretended that we were just friends, but he had an ulterior motive.
Well, you know,
but it's a lesson learned. And I think it's one that we all need to know and understand how to do this if it's going to work. It can work.
Yeah. I think Dr. Maya Angelou, she made an interesting statement, and I certainly subscribe to it. It's very true. And James and I, we mentioned this quite a few times, and I'll talk over. when people show you who they are, believe them. And sometimes it takes a while for people to really show you who they are, not only who they are, but where they are. And people can only keep up a smoke screen but for so long. And, you know, the issue that's right now, it's not your issue. Don't penalize yourself. You know, don't put yourself on a hook that you don't need to be on. Don't buy a ticket that you don't intend to get on the train and ride. You know, you have the right, again, like I said, to be at peace. You know, he misunderstood the boundaries, you know, or, I mean, if it hasn't happened in all this time, it's probably not going to happen. If you didn't respond when it was thrown out there, you know, then obviously that's a sign for him. You need to move on, and let's just either maintain the friendships or either you can draw the line in the sand. It's not your loss, it's his.
Right.
You're the bigger person for it, you know, to maintain, you stand your ground. You're the bigger person for it.
I love it.
Stand your ground. Yes. Yes, I understand, you know, having a friend and having something like that happen, yes, that can be hurtful, but also understand that you are not the one to breach that, you know, and find the peace in that, that you held the high road, you know, and keep it moving. The world is much bigger than that one person, and there are many more friendships to be had and to be enjoyed than just getting stuck in one place.
Right.
And the other thing, and I'm going to say that, I'm going to shut up. The person that's standing there right now might be holding up the next friend that's coming along because you're holding on to that. Maybe they're blocking the way for a really blocking friendship to happen in your life.
Very interesting. That's very interesting. I mean, and what's interesting is that, you know, I like you said, I set my boundaries a long time ago, and I thought we had both done that. But obviously I realize now that I was the only one that had, because in 4 years, if we have had nothing but a friendship in 4 years, and now all of a sudden you expected something to be different, and now because I stood firm, I stood my ground, and you're not liking that, and now you're going to shut me out, it just makes me wonder, you know, did you have an ulterior motive before? But if, like you said, if that was the case, then I need to let go of that friendship, or what was the illusion of that friendship, because he could be blocking, you know, the friendship with somebody else. I'm just so I'm thankful. Thank you so much for the insight that you've given me. I mean, I think that, I mean, one of the things that that I enjoy about this radio show is, you know, I do not claim to be an expert at anything. I think it's a way for us to just be able to talk about things and help each other, including me. And it's just, you know, one of those things where somebody else has an answer to a question that we may not be able to find the answer to ourselves. And I thank you so much for being able to share, you know, your personal experiences, and to be able to help me, and I'm sure somebody else that is listening in on the show tonight. James, I don't know where you know him from, but he needs to come back on the show again.
Still on here?
Are you guys still there?
I'm here, James.
You might have dropped off.
Must have lost.
Niecy, they're still in. I don't know what has happened.
That was my fault. I hit the mute button by accident. But yeah, I'm still here.
James, you can't be muting the phone when I have an epiphanation because somebody else is just giving me something that is so profound to my own situation.
You said it was an accident. Give him one. It was an accident.
Elijah was talking to me. I didn't want him to interrupt, so I hit the mute button, and I got to unmute it, but it's okay. But yes, AJ is a very good friend of mine. I met him through a mutual friend about 5 years? Oh, my God, where's time going? Yeah, about 5 years ago. Yes, we are not close in age, but we think very similar, and he's helped me through a lot, especially with the lifestyle that I live. So, yes, he's very insightful, and that was one of the conversations that me and him always has.
Well, I've just gotten some insight. I'm really actually feeling better about the situation because I'm going to be honest, guys. I really have been, I mean, and this has been like over a week, almost 2 weeks now, and it's really been bothering me. And I take my friendship seriously. I mean, Nisi and I will tell you, sometimes we have gone for a month, longer than that, and haven't even spoken to each other. But just knowing and understanding when we do get on the phone, now since we've been in the red room, it hadn't been that long. But Nisi and I have never really had that kind of friendship where, you know, we have to talk every day or we have to see each other every weekend because we have our own lives. But Nisi knows that if she needs me for anything, I'm there. And if I need her, I know she's there. But you know what? I'm going to take this as an opportunity to bring up a topic that I'm going to throw her under the bus for, because that's a friend's
name. Oh, shit.
She's going to get thrown under the bus.
Let me turn my hat backwards like they do in Atlanta.
Yes. AJ, I want you to listen to this situation, because as Nisi's friend, I know that she had a very special connection to someone. And I've known her for, like I said, over 20-some years. Nisi is, I know a lot of people can say I'm the ice queen. It's hard to break through that hard exterior of who Shelly is. But Nisi, she's a step above. She had a special connection with someone. I've never, ever set eyes on this man. But I feel like I know him just from the things that she told me about him. They shared common interests. He made her laugh. And it ain't easy to make Nisi laugh. He was just such a great guy. He knew the things that she liked to do and the things that she never even said, but he just knew her so well. But for some reason, I don't think she really felt that she was worthy of this man, so therefore she pushed him away as hard as she could.
Mm.
And at the point when he stepped up to test, and men will test you, the person that's opposite with you in a relationship will test you to see how important you are in their life, to see whether or not they're ready to take that leap. Because a lot of times a person is not going to just jump unless they know you're going to catch them. And I think he tested to see if he jumped, she would be standing there waiting for him with open arms. And she didn't pass the test.
Nope, I didn't.
Okay.
Oh, God. We're not going to call his name, Nisi. We're not going to call his name.
Yes.
But you know and understand. And he has, and they were friends. They were friends.
No, you gotta tell me we were more. This guy was my supervisor. And he became my friend. And because he was my supervisor, there was never going to be anything between us. As long as he was my supervisor. And the day that he no longer was my supervisor, he tested me and I failed because I thought I was putting priorities together and I felt he wasn't the priority. He wasn't the number one priority.
Only
he was not a priority.
He wanted her to meet him before he left to move to establish a long-term relationship that could have been, you know, I mean, a long-distance relationship, which may not have necessarily been long-distance for a long time. And she said she couldn't because she chose to support her son in an athletic event. Now, anybody that knows me knows my son comes first. But they do, you do have to know and understand it takes a village to raise a child. So you call the village and you tell the village, I need y'all to show up for a couple of hours while I go take care of something else.
Well, Shelly, you know what you said? You said a key word, two key words, long distance. That would not have made it. That would not have made it. It would not have made it. And when we say long distance, we're talking coast to coast, overseas. So it was like, why am I going to dabble? I'm going to get teased, and I ain't going to get another piece for a while. So that was another thing, that long distance thing. Come on. I mean, even though I could tell you now, he would fly me to whatever he was doing. He would fly me there. He did. But he couldn't fly me there every day when I wanted it. So, you know, that was another reason why I didn't jump, because of long distance.
Well, you best friend. Didn't explore the possibility. You didn't explore the possibility.
Yeah. You know, when I get a good thing, I want to keep a good thing. And I knew that if we ever got together intimately, it was going to be on. And he was leaving. He was leaving, Shelly. He was leaving.
Yeah, temporarily.
What do you mean temporarily? He has not been back here. He did come back here temporarily 6 years later, Shelly.
Mm-hmm.
He came back
but
here for
after,
6 months.
But you just never know where things that could have gone. The choices that he made were based on your choices. I'm throwing you under the bus. You can make all the excuses you want.
Yeah, you threw me under the bus, but then, like I told you, sex would have ruined our friendship.
Or the lack thereof. or the lack thereof.
Thank you. AJ, was that you that said that?
No, that
thank
was
you.
Dang.
Because bottom line, I'm just saying, if Niecy, you say that you're all that you are, and, I mean, you had a man about to have a heart attack with a pacemaker, and it wouldn't let you know that the tick, 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 tick was
yep.
his pacemaker.
What the hell?
You say that you wouldn't have made different choices as to where his location was. You cut him off. You let him know you're not worthy of me making a small sacrifice to show up late. And it wasn't even you missing the whole athletic event. Let me throw that piece out there, too, because it wasn't that she wasn't going to show up at all. She just would have had to sacrifice a few hours of sleep. Maybe she would have only had 2 hours of sleep and had to rush to the athletic event. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people have had no sleep because it was worth it to show up for work or show up for an event? It wasn't.
Okay, Shelly, I blew
it. Completely.
I blew it, Shelly. You
okay.
know, the bus ran on me three
that.
Times.
I need
it ran on me three times. You want to go four times? I blew it. So now we best friends, and that's the end of it. How you like me now? Damn it.
Well, you know, I think again, you know, it gets back to the point, the thing that I said earlier. You have to decide what you want, you know, and when you make that decision, you stand your ground. You know,
I stood my ground.
Yeah,
long-distance relationships don't work.
I'm with you on that on Shelly.
I disagree.
You know,
I'm just saying, had she showed up, I think he would have been stationed right around the corner. He'd have been in Andrews versus over on the other side of the country. So I'm just saying. You say you stood your ground.
I stood my ground on that one. I think I just made the right decision, Shelly. I did.
Yeah.
I really made the right decision. And then, hold up, this man wanted children. Guess who was not having any more kids? Me. you. You know, and I wasn't going to hold him back from that because he really wanted a child, and I knew I wasn't going to have one. And he wanted
that's
a nice caramel one at that because I know I could have gotten
that's
it, but I couldn't. I couldn't. I wasn't going to have no baby, no damn 40. You crazy? Oh, no. and I didn't want to make him miserable. Come on. I wanted him to be happy and have that child. And guess what?
Okay.
Damn it, he ain't.
That was how many years ago? How old would that child be right now? Getting ready to go to middle school.
Yep. Sure would be. And guess what?
So?
He still ain't got a child. Let me stop. Oh, my God. He still has
because he wanted it with you.
See? You want his life.
Well, you know what? I did make a suggestion to him, though. I made a suggestion that I would have a child for him, and he would take it and raise it on his own, and I wouldn't be a part of the child's life. And he looked at me like,
no.
I lost my mind.
I would have, too.
I would have, too.
Why?
Yeah, that was after a need for a drink or one too many drinks. James, you should have okay, do you have, James, let me ask you a question. Do you have a drink that you put together called Delusional?
Everything I make is
delusional. I think
I'll answer that
drink
for
drink
him. You can do it because he's a drink master. Trust me, he could do it.
I know he can.
Yeah. AJ will tell you. AJ used to come to my bar and say, pick me something, I don't care what it is. And he would sit there for 3 hours and drink everything I gave him.
I sure did. And they were all good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask y'all a question. This is one that we had on the topic for tonight. Do you think some people get together and call what they have a relationship, but it really is it's mislabeled and it's just a physical attraction?
Yes, for sure. For sure, yes.
I think that was the question. I mean, I kind of polled a few people when James and I came up with the topic because, you know, the questions that we kind of asked to kind of incite the conversation tonight, that question was one that I just had to ask people. I think everybody knows that, yeah, when you ask a person, oh, let's just be friends, it's either because they don't want to feel like the bad guy in the situation. So they say, oh, we can be friends to try to make themselves feel better, knowing that it's really not going to work. But I think some people don't think about the fact that what they call a relationship is really mislabeled as just a physical attraction. And if that's the case, how do you know the difference?
Somebody knows.
That's kind of tricky because, you know, attractions do bring people together. And a friendship, acquaintanceships are a form of relationship. You know, a relationship, we can talk about whether it's an intimate relationship, a physical relationship, it's still a relationship. It's just a matter of what label you put on it. If it wasn't for attraction, I don't think that people would be together. Now, how you pursue that attraction determines kind of what it is. For instance, you know, there have been people that I've been attracted to in my life. You know, I've also been married, too, so I'm not totally on one side or the other. I'm kind of somewhere in the middle some days. Some of the other days, it's like I'm still scratching my head, but I'm okay with that. But I've been in situations. And I'm straight up about that. You know, I'm very clear on who I am. And as a person, and I don't put a label on myself because I'm not a label. I'm a person that has choices, and I can do that. But I have met people before where there was definitely a chemistry. The pheromones were flying. You know, the energy and chemistry was strong. You know, the hair on my skin was standing up. You know, and it didn't start out like that, you know, because I don't like going into something from my waist down. I like to go in from my head down. You know, and start from the intellectual perspective and talk, you know, and build something from there to find out if we have any chemistry that we can get along, if it should get to the intimate part. You know, can we get along after, you know, the bang of the moment? Do we have anything to talk about? Do we have anything in common, et cetera? You know, and if I determine from the conversation, you know, that we have nothing in common, I don't care how much the chemistry is unless I've had more than a couple of drinks. And things kind of change. if they happen at the kind of drinks, I might be a little more game to explore the territory. But,
right.
You know, that's suspect. But for me, and it's just a personal thing with me, if we can't have a conversation, you know, that's very fulfilling and diverse, it's highly unlikely that I'm probably going to pursue anything else. You know, the sex might be good, but if we can't communicate, then it's really going to be a short story for me, because I have to have something to talk about and somebody I can relate to at the end of the day. I would prefer having a good friend than to have a one-night stand and having nothing after that.
Right.
I have had friends with benefits, but we were friends first for several years before it went anything any farther. And I mean, the chemistry was there for a while, and there were a few moments, but it's like, no. You know, I need to make sure what's going on. You know, and we crossed the line, and we've crossed the line off and on for the last year and a half or so. You know, and the line is now broken. I understand that we can't be friends, but that's because, you know, when people show you who they are, you believe what they show you. So
exactly.
I understand I have to draw. I'm sorry.
I totally agree with you. That is such a profound statement. It is so very true. But the sad part about it is when they show you who they are, sometimes we become so blind, or we put on the rose-colored glasses that we only want to see them for who we want them to be, not who they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes stuff is so good you ignore it.
I know. And that's sad.
Yeah.
That is sad.
Yeah, and I did that. You know, I'm famous for doing that, you know, and I finally confronted my own self. It's like I grabbed myself in the collar and slammed me up against the wall and say, okay, buddy, come on. You know, you got better sense than this. It's time to hold up, fold up, and walk away.
Right.
You know, and I finally did that. You know, it was a little difficult, but it's like, you know what? There's plenty more fish in the sea. You know, I'm holding up somebody else that would be much more meaningful and worth spending time with than this one trick pony, pretty much.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and unfortunately, we kind of do that. We kind of flip the script and do that to ourselves, because we hold ourselves up from, you know, where our being in a position to meet someone who we truly are meant to be with, or, you know, could have a real relationship with, because we are still so focused on something that we see as this relationship, but it really is nothing more than just a physical attraction.
Yep.
And I mean, I still say that being in a relationship is one of the most hardest things that we ever have to achieve in our lives. It's not easy. You know, the relationships, the marriages that last for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I mean, I've met couples who've been married for years and years and years, and they'll tell you, yes, we've been married that long, we've been together that long, but none of those years, all of them were ever easy. It's work.
Yeah.
But I think the part that we just lose the focus on is the work.
Yes.
We lose focus on the work. One of the shows that James and I had talked about that we wanted to, that we're going to do is, you know, I mean, we just focus on the whole aspect of relationships, and one of the things that we're going to talk about is dating. How dating is just such, it's almost, to me, dating is almost like Latin. It's a dead language.
Yes.
People don't know how to date anymore. They don't understand the importance of dating the person that they're with. Courting is such an ancient term, or it's what people call a country term, and I'm a country girl. I mean, and when I was growing up, I would hear my grandmother say, "Oh yeah, such and such courted her for 2 years before he got her to say yes that she would marry him." But people don't go through that process anymore.
That's a discovery process.
It's a discovery process, but we just want to rush stuff, and that's why I think we go from, you know, being in what we call relationships that don't work, and then we want to call it, okay, let's, it didn't work out with us this way, so let's just be friends. It shouldn't be an alternative. I really don't think it should be an alternative. We need to stop playing around with what we call relationships and friendships and label them what they truly are. And, I mean, at the end of the day, maybe at some point we'd be able to fix this whole statistic of, you know, 50% of all marriages end in divorce, and how we have so many children who are born into relationships where parents don't even speak to each other anymore. I mean, yes, we talk about, you know, different things on this radio show, and we share our own personal experiences, but at some point we have to find a way to help people understand that some changes have to be made within ourselves, how we teach our children, just, you know, the things that we do. So, I mean, you have to see it for what it is and say, at some point, I've had enough. You know, like you say, you have to set your boundaries. You have to know what it is that you want. You have to know what it is that you deserve and what you expect. And at the end of the day, AJ, like you say, stand your ground. I just love it. I mean, I mean, the term has only been used for, you know, a certain, you know, situation or situations in life. But I think maybe at some point we need to just start saying, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to protect myself from future hurt, from future pain, and simply say, this is what I want and what I deserve.
Yeah. The law of presence.
I have a question. I know I'm about to screw up this whole conversation. I started rereading your book again, Shelley, about a month ago, and then I've also been watching Think Like a Man a lot lately. My question is, do you feel like if you stand your ground to a point where you push people away, like your standards and stuff like that, then in the end you're really hurting yourself because this person might not make the money you want them to make or make what you make. They might not own the house, stuff like that. So are you basing your standards off of what you want somebody to have and not realizing that, well, they might not have this, but they have something else that I like about them? Does that make sense
That's an interesting question. And please excuse me if you hear the background noise, because I'm birthing my grandbaby. You got to make it do what it do. You juggle how you can.
Multitasking.
I think it's a
multitasking.
You got to multitask. You just got to make it happen. I'm a grandmother. This is what I bring to the table. This is my heart. I love this little boy, and I'm going to do whatever I can for him. What I bring to the table is what I don't bring. And James, what you say is so important, because in Think Like a Man, I started watching that movie, and the very first time I started watching it, I started making notes because I read the book as a married woman. So it was funny to me. I didn't understand what he was really saying in that book. Steve Harvey made a good point, but as a married woman, I just found it was written, to me, I read it from a comedic standpoint. But when I became single and read the book, I really felt like, seriously, dude, you just really needed to make some money, because some of the stuff that you wrote in this book was like a single person really can't use it to figure out where they want to be in a relationship. I don't think what you expect in life has to be financial. I don't think it has to be materialistic. I may not have a $600,000 house. I may not make six figures, but I am worth far more than six figures, seven figures, eight figures for what I can bring to a relationship. Now, am I going to put myself in a position to say that I can bring to the table financially what someone making that kind of money can bring? No. but me as a person, I'm worth more than way more than any of the materialistic things that a person can offer. I think the money piece of it, the part where he talked about, you know, I like the part of the movie where the woman with all the money, you know, kind of knew that the person that she really needed to be with or the person she really loved was the guy who didn't make a lot of money. But I think at some point we have to know what we are worth, you know, within ourselves, outside of what I guess society says we're worth. Because what you make and where you live and how much money you make is what society says is what you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line, I don't care how much money he makes. If he can pay his own bills, now I'm not paying his bills. That I'm not going to do. I can't do that. And I mean, I may laugh at that, but I can't. But if he can handle his own and I'm handling my own, we can build an empire together. But I think that movie, it was interesting. It was for entertainment, but it was a lot of things that people look at and have taken away from that. And women for themselves have said, oh, well, yeah, I need a guy that's making this kind of money because I'm making that kind of money. And women who are out there making that money like that are missing out on so many good men.
Very true.
Because they're looking for the man that has what they have. I'm sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent about that, but I
that
just
was
think
good.
Steve
something.
Harvey
that
and I,
right.
Steve Harvey and I am waiting for that day when his book and my book, we can go toe-to-toe because I so disagree with so much of his things. As a single woman, like I said, I read it when I was married, and it was interesting. It was comedy. I laughed at it. But as a single woman, when I read it, I was, like, irritated. I was angry.
Wow.
The very first time I watched it, I did it for research. My PR person, the girl who was just you know, put me on the right track with my book and everything, she said the first thing you have to do is find the one book that you feel is, in a sense, compared to your book, and I picked the Steve Harvey book. I read it, so then I decided to watch the movie. A half an hour into the movie, I had to cut it off because I was irritated, I was pissed off, I had about 3 drinks, and I had to go to bed. I had 4 pages of notes on a yellow pad.
Wow.
And I still have those pages. So I just think that, you know, when it comes to certain things in relationships, we get it all wrong. And society dictates how we should do it, and we need to stop looking at how society says. We need to listen to our heart.
I think Hollywood has so dictated the trend that we're seeing happening with relationships today. I mean, reality television and all of these other shows that are on there, I think that they have ruined the fiber of what relationship really means, and what it means to have a relationship. And they deal with the materialism particularly. And, you know, again, you have to understand what is it that you want for yourself. You know, for me, I've been single 9 years. My ex-wife and I, we were married for 15 years. And you said something that was very key. It said some people fail to put in the work, or they decide they don't want to put in any more work. If we had been married today, we would have been married for 24 years, which would have been quite a significant thing. But she didn't want to work no more. We both, you know, had issues, and I was willing to confront them, even as far as going to a therapist, you know, and us sitting down and actually talking, you know, a counselor rather, and seeing if we could discover the issues and work through them and bring our marriage back to a place of wholeness where it needed to be. And she threw off on me. She said, well, you the one got issues. I don't. Denial. So at the end of the day, it didn't work. But coming back to the dating scene, or being a single man, should I say, at the age of 44, to tell you about how old I am or how young I am, coming back to the being single, you know, at 44, it was a whole new world. I had been married for 15 years. I had been single prior to that, you know, for just a year before, you know, we got married. But we dated, you know, for a while before we finally got married. But long story short, coming back to the dating scene, after 15 years of marriage, it was a whole different terrain. And I'm telling you what, as pissed off as you were about the movie and the book, I was pissed off with being single again, number one, at 44, having given a third of my life to this woman that I intended to spend the rest of my life with, and then seeing what the landscape looked like when I got back, and I was totally pissed off. I'm still a little pissed off. You know, 9 years later, I'm still single. Now, as far as my standards are concerned, I can speak for myself. I'm not the person, you know, that wants somebody that's balling with six figures or whatever. I don't make six figures, you know. My thing is, and this will always be this way, and it was what it was when I was, you know, single and I met her. You know, I want somebody to be able to, that can handle their own, take care of themselves, that's independent, my support in the financial aspect. But that they can bring something to the table, and we can put it together, and we can make something else, as opposed to just being, you know, a struggle. Bring something to the table, put it with my something, and we got something else.
Right, kind of like a potluck. You bring your best, I bring my best, and we have the best dinner ever. You know,
exactly.
You don't need to, I don't want you to bring everything. I don't want to bring everything. I want us to come together and bring the, I want you to go in the kitchen and show your ass and bring it
to
the table. And we can then create greatness. It doesn't need to be one person or the other that has the best of everything. So you come with nothing and I just, you know, shine for both of us. That's not what most people are looking for. Now, some are. I'm not going to say that not everybody is. But I think when you've been through things in life and you've experienced relationships in life and you've grown and you've matured, you know and understand that I don't need you to bring everything. I need to come to the table and bring something. You need to come to the table and bring something, because when you both start coming to the table and one person's only bringing something and the other isn't, at the end of the day, somebody's going to be hungry. And that ain't a good feeling. And
that's
it ain't
going
to last long.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, women about security. This is one thing I know, because a female friend of mine told me, she said, "You think like a woman." Because, you know, she told me that, you know, I was telling her, you know, when I get approached, you know, even at 53, I still get approached. And, and when they come at me, you know, first you come, men's conversation is like, "So what's up?" You know, that "what's up" question is trying to find out what you like to do. And that turns me off so much. And she said, "Well, you think like a woman then." It's like, "Well, why do you say that?" Because I enjoy being a man. I'm a man all the way. And she said, "No, it's not like that." She said, "If you come at a woman, you got to get to her head. You know, if you get to her head right, then the rest of her body will follow. But you, in that respect, you know, you respond like a woman." I said, "Well, I guess I think like one." But behind that, outside of that, I kind of lost my train of thought. Outside of that, what I look for, when I pursue a relationship or I'm on the dating scene, you know, I want somebody that's going to be honest. Just be honest. You know, whatever your flaws are, let me see them. I don't mind seeing flaws. If I got them, you'll see them. You know, have some integrity. Those things are the things that matter to me. The rest of everything else that comes along, we can deal with that. But I need to be able to believe what you say, and that you do what you do, as well as do what you say. And I need to be able to believe that. If I can,
interesting, because my daughter took an interesting approach to meeting someone new about, I guess, a month ago. And her conversation with this person was totally different, because it came from one of the radio shows that we did. James, you remember the show when we talked about, you know, questions that you ask when you're getting to know someone? She asked the question to the guy that let her know, you know, where he was. And she said, you know, when we talk to each other, we're going to tell each other the best of who we are. Let's do something different, and I want you to tell me the worst of who you are, and I'll do the same.
Wow.
Tell me the worst of who you are. Tell me, you know, it's kind of like when you go through a job interview and they ask you, you know, tell me your most positive qualities and tell me some things that you need to work on. And that was one of the things that she discussed. He couldn't tell her anything negative about himself. She knew then,
wow,
you're in denial. I don't need to continue any more conversations with you. Because she was able to tell him her shortcomings, but he couldn't list one. So, I mean, it's like you say, you have to be able to present yourself. You have to put on the table what you have, what you don't have, and that person accepts you for who you are. And that's that's like in friendship. Anybody knows that when they are friends with me, and Niecy knows, I mean, I'm not the person that's going to call you every week. You won't talk to – I'm not a phone person. I'm not going to talk to you every week. But guess what? When we do talk, we're going to catch up. We're going to be on the phone for a couple of hours. And then when we do get together and see each other, we're going to have a ball. It may not be another – it may be another month before we see each other, or a couple of months. But we're going to have a great time. But it's like you – if a person can't put who they truly are out there, that's something you need to take a look at.
Very much so. Very much so. I told her, I said,
you know what? I'm gonna use that the next time. The next time I have a new conversation with a guy, I'm gonna use that. I was like, that is so. I just love it. Tell me the worst of who you are. Because everybody's going to put their best on the table. And she told him, she said, I procrastinate. There's some things that I need to work on. And, you know, this is the situation here. This is the situation there. And he was like, well, I really can't see anything bad about myself. She was like, okay, hey, give me a minute. My son is I need to feed my son, so I will call you back. Guess who didn't get that phone call back?
Wow. I have to try that.
I haven't had an opportunity to use it, but I'm so waiting for a chance to.
Oh, trust me. That's in my hand of cards the next time that I go out on a date. And
That's a good one, huh?
Yeah, maybe the second date. Maybe I won't do it on the first date, so I can get a second date.
No, not on the first date or the first conversation. You kind of like need to kind of feel them out at least a little bit. But at some point, that is definitely a good question or a good point of conversation.
Oh my God! That's quite different.
Yeah, that's what I said. At least she didn't waste her time. She said, "I don't have time to waste my time."
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guys, it has been like such an awesome night. I really am so glad we got a chance to come into the Red Room. James, I'm going to say this. You know, both of us, our lives have been crazy. Niecy's life has been crazy. It has been so like hectic for us. And as I sit here holding my grandson, trying to birth him and keep him from crying, we've made it happen. So I thank everybody for taking the time to join us in the Red Room. We're going to keep it moving in spite of whatever challenges we have. If we have to switch different nights of the week, we will just put it out there and let everybody know when we're going in. We do what we do because we do it to help people. AJ, I don't know where you came from, dude, but I'm so glad you joined us tonight. Please don't be a stranger.
I won't.
James, I don't know where you got him from, but I love this guy. He has been so insightful. James keeps bringing these these interesting people as guests into our Red Room. That's like I need to see them face to face because they enlighten us and give us just, you know, so much, you know, powerful information for our shows that it's like, okay, now I got to step my game up.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of which,
well, maybe,
I have...
maybe the next time I come home, we can actually have everybody in the same room and do a show.
You've been reading my mind.
Sounds good to me.
We're going to have a round table Red Room radio show. We're going to have to do that. Okay, at this point, does anybody have anything else that they want to add to the show? I'm so excited that we had an opportunity to be able to share. I think we've covered the topics. I'm more comfortable now with my place of having to accept the situation that I'm in. James, I have put my foot back into the stiletto. We'll talk about that offline. Niecy already knows. But I'm going to need to read my own book for therapy.
It happens. You take your own advice.
I have to take my own advice. But you know what? It's okay. Because it... You know, I say this, whatever shoe you're wearing, if it hurts, take it off. This stiletto, it don't hurt. That's what's so bad about it. But I know sooner or later, I mean, I have to take it off. But right now,
what?
I'm just having fun. And isn't that what life is all about?
Yes.
I'm waiting for somebody to tell me that what I'm doing is wrong. Why will anybody? No, why won't somebody tell me that what I'm doing is wrong?
Because I've been having too much fun lately. I can't tell you what you're doing is wrong. I know what I've been doing is hella wrong.
I just say you only have one life to live. If you're not in that place where you're on that path to be where you know you want to be, then have fun wherever you are. Live wherever you are, because tomorrow is not promised. It's just
Where's
not.
Nancy?
Huh?
Where's Nancy? She's quiet.
I don't know.
And it's the end
I don't
of the
know
show.
Where Nancy went. Nancy. Did you just get quiet on us? Because, I mean, at some point, Niecy just didn't even chime in. She didn't even cuss nobody out. You know, at some point, Niecy.
You better put me back in.
Niecy. Oh, there she goes.
I knew it.
You better put me back in.
I'm sorry. You've been on. You know what? Niecy is on the call on two different phone lines. That's how much Niecy making sure she ain't gonna get kicked out of the Red Room. And I love Blog Talk, but sometimes their phone lines somehow you get dropped. And Niecy makes sure if I get dropped from one call, I'm gonna be on the other.
Did you put me back in?
You're in. We hear you. Close us
put
out
me in
the for
game,
the show
bro.
Tonight.
You got to put me back in, Shell. I got disconnected.
You're in. You can't hear me?
I'm in. Okay.
You're
I
in.
Can't hear you. I got dropped like 30 minutes ago.
Oh, she had one of my numbers.
She had two phone lines in, calling in from two phone lines. She's like the CIA agent. She got to come in undercover, and she got to come in. She does like a covert operation.
Look, Shelly, y'all was so daggone deep, I couldn't even get in.
Oh, wow.
It was like there was no break for me to jump in. It was like, oh, my God. AJ, you off the hook. I know that. You off the hook, AJ.
I'm just me, that's all. It's life experiences.
He sounded like me, like James was sounding like me earlier. I done met another one just like me. Okay.
Hey,
see,
you know,
that's
I always
well,
say
we
that
have
life
to,
is a,
we have to
life
find,
is like
we definitely have to find a way to come together to do this show all in the same place because
that's gonna be
we're making connections with each other and need to be seen face to face.
Yeah, we do.
I agree.
We really do.
I agree.
Pull out the sleeping blankets, pull out the bottles, and pull out the studio.
Well,
it's going to be overnight.
Oh. We'll let you mix the drinks.
Yes, most definitely.
Of course.
You'll have to be the bartender to mix the drink.
Of course. That's why I said pull out the blankets and the sleeping bag.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because once he finishes mixing the drinks, there's going to be some folks that are going to be on the floor. It won't be me, though, I can promise.
It might be me.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for being able to show up in the Red Room tonight. AJ, you are just so awesome. I love you. I hope this is not the last night that we hear from you.
It won't
DC,
be.
We see you under the bus, and you just took it like a soldier. Only a true friend would do that. James,
yes,
we gotta give her the props because I mean, you know, Nisi always comes in
the
last minute, and she just kind of gives us the 411. But Nisi stood tall, took it, and said, "Hey, it is what it is." So I thank everybody for sharing tonight. I just hope that, you know, someone who has listened to our show has gained something that will help them. And we're going to bring it to you again next week. It may not be Wednesday, but guaranteed it's going to be one night next week. I hate to say this, but I got to go. But I got this little man right here that is just so requesting my attention, and he has been such a soldier for the entire time that we've been on the show tonight. I am your host, Shelley O. Brooks, author, mother, and grandmother, and motivational speaker, along with the great guests that I have and my co-host. Are you trying to speak tonight? It's not your turn. Thank everyone for and he takes it with attitude. I just want to thank everybody for joining us in the Red Room tonight. We will be back again next week. I am looking forward to a special guest next week who I'm going to kind of hold it out until I know for sure, but it's going to be a show that's going to totally amaze you. James, can you close us out for the show? Because I got to handle this right here. Thanks, everyone, for a great night, and I will see you again next week.
See you, Charlie. It's been a pleasure.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.